The Christmas Peace 1908. They had lived within a mile of each other for 50-odd years, old Judge Hampton and old Colonel Drayton, that is, all their lives, for they had been born on adjoining plantations within a month of each other. But though they had thus lived and were accounted generally good men and good neighbors, to each other they had never been neighbors any more than the Levite was neighbor to him who went down to Jericho. Kindly to everyone else and ready to do their part by all other men, the Draytons and the Hamptons, whenever they met each other, always passed by on the other side. It was an old story, the feud between the families, and, perhaps, no one now knew just how the trouble started. They had certainly been on opposite sides ever since they established themselves in early colonial days on opposite hills in the old county from which the two mansions looked at each other across the stream like hostile forts. The earliest records of the county were those of a dispute between one Colonel Drayton and one Captain Hampton, growing out of some claim to land, but in which the chief bitterness appeared to have been injected by Captain Hampton's having claimed precedence over Colonel Drayton on the ground that his title of captain was superior to Colonel Drayton's title, because he had held a real commission and had fought for it, whereas the colonel's title was simply honorary and ye side colonel had never smelled enough powder to kill a tomcat. However this might be, and there was nothing in the records to show how this contention was adjudicated, in the time of Major Wilmer Drayton and Judge Oliver Hampton, the breach between the two families had been transmitted from father to son for several generations and showed no signs of abatement. Other neighborhood families intermarried, but not the Drayton Hall and the Hampton Hill families, and in time it came to be an accepted tradition that a Drayton and a Hampton would not mingle any more than would fire and water. The Hamptons were dark and stout, hot-blooded, fierce, and impetuous. They were apparently vigorous, but many of them died young. The Draytons, on the other hand, were slender and fair, and usually lived to a round old age, a fact of which they were wont to boast in contrast with the briefer span of the Hamptons. Their tempers burned them out, the Major used to say of the Hamptons. Moreover, the Draytons were generally cool-headed, deliberate, and self-contained. Thus, the Draytons had mainly prospered throughout the years. Even the winding creek which ran down through the strip of meadow was a fruitful cause of dissension and litigation between the families. "It is as ungovernable as a Hampton's temper, sir," once said Major Drayton, "on the mere pretext of a thunderstorm, it would burst forth from its banks, tear the fences to pieces and even change its course, cutting a new channel, now to one side and now to the other through the soft and loamy soil." A lawsuit arose over the matter, in which the costs alone amounted to far more than the value of the whole land involved, but no one doubted that old Major Drayton spoke the truth when he declared that his father would rather have lost his entire estate with all its rolling hills and extensive forests than the acre or two which was finally awarded to Judge Hampton. As neither owner would join the other even in keeping up a partition fence, there were two fences run within 3 feet of each other along the entire boundary line between the two places. With these double fences, there could hardly be peace between the two families, for neither owner ever saw the two lines running side by side without at once being reminded of his neighbor's obstinacy and of his own. Thus, in my time the quarrel between the Drayton Hall people and the Hampton Hill folks was a factor in every neighborhood problem or proposition, from a church dressing or a sewing society meeting to a political campaign. It had to be considered in every invitation and in every discussion. It is not meant that there was no intercourse between the two families. Major Drayton and Judge Hampton regularly paid each other a visit every year, and oftener when there was serious illness in one house or the other, but even on such occasions their differences were liable to crop out. One of them held an opinion that when one gentleman was spending the night in another gentleman's house, it was the part of the host to indicate when bedtime had arrived, whilst the other maintained with equal firmness the doctrine that no gentleman could inform his guest that he was fatigued, that this duty devolved upon the guest himself. This difference of opinion worked comfortably enough on both sides until an occasion when Judge Hampton, who held the former view, was spending the night at Colonel Drayton's. When bedtime arrived, the rest of the household retired quietly, leaving the two gentlemen conversing, and when the servants appeared in the morning to open the blinds and light the fires, the two gentlemen were still found seated opposite each other conversing together quiet as if it were the ordinary thing to sit up and talk all night long. On another occasion, it is said that Major Drayton, hearing of his neighbor's serious illness, rode over to make inquiry about him, and owing to a slip of the tongue, asked in a voice of deepest sympathy, any hopes of the old gentleman dying, too. Yet, they had once been friends. Before Wilmer Drayton and Oliver Hampton were old enough to understand that by all the laws of heredity and custom they should be enemies, they had learned to like each other. When they were only a few years old, the little creek winding between the two plantations afforded in its strip of meadow a delightful neutral territory where the two boys could enjoy themselves together, safe from the interference of their grave seniors, wading, sailing mimic fleets upon its uncertain currents, fishing together, or bathing in the deepest pools it offered in its winding course. It looked, indeed, for a time as if in the fellowship of these two lads the long-standing feud of the Hamptons and Draytons might be ended, at last. They went to school together at the academy, where their only contests were a generous rivalry. At college they were known as Damon and Pythias, and though a natural rivalry, which might in any event have existed between them, developed over the highest prize of the institution, the debater's medal, the generosity of youth saved them. It was even said that young Drayton, who for some time had apparently been certain of winning, had generously retired in order to defeat a third candidate and throw the prize to Oliver Hampton. They came home and both went to the bar, but with different results. Young Drayton was learned and unpractical. Oliver Hampton was clever, able, and successful, and soon had a thriving practice, while his neighbor's learning was hardly known outside the circle of the bar. Disappointed in his ambition, Drayton shortly retired from the bar and lived the life of a country gentleman, while his former friend rapidly rose to be the head of the bar. The old friendship might have disappeared in any event, but a new cause arose which was certain to end it. Lucy Fielding was, perhaps, the prettiest girl in all that region. Oliver Hampton had always been in love with her. However, fortune, ever capricious, favored Wilmer Drayton, who entered the lists when it looked as if Miss Lucy were almost certain to marry her old lover. It appeared that Mr. Drayton's indifference had counted for more than the other's devotion. He carried off the prize with a dash. If Oliver Hampton, however, was severely stricken by his disappointment, he masked it well.